Hi, John.
Here we go.
Okay, we are recording. This is the monthly KPFK local station board meeting. It is October 15th, 2023. I am Harvey Wasserman, the chair of the KPFK local station board, and we have quorum. Mallory Eason is the secretary.
And it's 10:39 a.m.
10:39. We will be having, as quickly as we can, the CAB report from Dan McCrory. We want to do the roll call, Mila, please.
Oh, hang on a second. I'm multitasking here. I'm a little bit behind on everything. Just give me a second. Okay. Here we go. Christina Avalos?
Here.
Thank you. Doug Barnett? I do not hear Doug Barnett. Veronica Becerra, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm here.
Great.
And hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Mike Bresler. Don't hear Mike. Sandy Child.
I'm here.
John Crumshaw.
Present.
Thank you. Victor Rami asked for an excused absence, so I'm not expecting him to answer. Nikki Hahn.
Here.
Thank you, Nikki, and thank you for helping co-host the Zoom. Michael Heiss.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
what a guy. Stu Cohen-Johnson.
I think she had an excused absence.
Well, she did, and then she changed it. She said she was going to a private parade, and then she changed the date. So,
no, she's in the other meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Avelia Jones.
I'm here.
Thank you, Avelia. And Ali Lexa did ask for an excused absence. Rob Macon. I don't hear Rob. Barbara Marbach. I do not hear Barbara. Oye, Oye Ipo.
Oh, yay.
Here.
Oh, great. Good. Thank you. Glad to have you with us.
Mila Reason, I am here. Paul Roberson, thank you for co-hosting.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Dr. Ruth Strauss.
Here.
Thank you. Beth Von Gunten. I don't hear Beth. Harvey.
I'm here.
Carlos Zavala.
I'm here.
Okay, I think you are. Kim Kaufman, our treasurer.
Well, Kim is here.
Yeah. Well, she needs to say it herself.
I'm here.
Thank you. And our interim general manager, Michael Novick. Michael. We heard him earlier. I believe he's also in that other meeting. And I'm just wondering, because of my screw up with the Zoom, whether anyone needs to reach out to Beth Von Gunten.
I just sent an email out to everybody saying use the code, this code on the email that you sent with the agenda.
Oh, thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Okay.
Michael's on mute.
Okay, do we have quorum?
We do.
Okay, let's proceed with the call for excused absences.
So Victor Rami and Ali Lexa submitted requests for excused absences.
Okay. Sue Cohen-Johnson's kind of in limbo. We'll see if she shows up, but she did ask for one.
Right, that's true. Thank you.
So we want to, Dan McCrory is going to give us the long-awaited CAB report, but we'll do as quickly as we can with the Evelia with the land back statement and Paul with the mission statement, please.
All right. Land back manifesto. It's the reclamation of everything stolen from the original peoples. Land, language, ceremony, food, education, housing. Healthcare, governance, medicines, kinship. It's a relationship with Mother Earth, that is symbiotic and just, where we have reclaimed stewardship. It is bringing our people with us as we move toward liberation and embodied sovereignty through an organizing political and narrative framework. It's a long legacy of warriors and leaders who sacrificed freedom and life. It's a catalyst for current generation organizers and centers the voices of those who represent our future. It is recognizing that our struggle is interconnected with the struggles of all oppressed peoples. It's a future where Black reparations and Indigenous land back coexist, where BIPOC collective liberation is at the core. It is acknowledging that only when Mother Earth is well can we, her children, be well. It is our belonging to the land, because we are the land. We are land back.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Iberia. Greatly appreciated. Paul, do you want to do the mission statement, please? Thank you so much.
All righty. The Pacifica mission statement. To establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible, one or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the FCC and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934 as amended, and radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestra groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community, and radio broadcasting operations to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purpose of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms, in radio broadcasting operations to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. Thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Much greatly appreciated. We want to approve the agenda and then let Dan, if we can, I'm going to move him up to read the CAB report. Are there any objections to the...
If we could just quickly also approve the minutes from the last meeting. It should be 10 seconds to do that, hopefully.
All right, go ahead then. Is there objection to the agenda? Hearing none, we're approved. Is there objection to the minutes from the last meeting? Hearing none, they're approved.
I'm sorry. This is Kim. May I be recognized?
Yes.
The agenda says a treasurer's report. I am not making a treasurer's report. This is a review of the FY24 budget.
Okay, that's fine. But, Kim, okay, we're just want to get,
Okay, we'll accept that change, Kim. Is there anyone who objects to that change? Thank you, Kim.
Harvey, may I be recognized, please?
Michael? Go ahead.
Dan has a time constraint, Michael.
Go ahead, Michael. Dan needs to leave by 11, but go ahead.
Okay. There was one thing that was forwarded as a motion. I don't know if it's – I'm on a different screen, but I'm looking at your beautiful park there, Harvey. What do you call it? There was a motion that was put on, and I don't know if it's on the agenda or something that will be brought up about Cuba, and while – I agree with the thrust of the motion. I don't think that that's an appropriate item for the station to put something out about. In fact, I don't know if we can do that.
We'll address that later, Michael.
Okay.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Because Dan is, we've been waiting for a long time for this, and we appreciate all this. So we've technically approved the minutes and the agenda. Dan McCrory, the CAB report. Very happy to have you with us, Dan. We know the difficulties and that you've overcome to do this. So please go ahead.
Thank you, Harvey. First of all, I want to say that, I appreciate this opportunity to let you know a bit more about the cab. You all received our last minutes. Those haven't been officially approved, but I'd say that they will be in a couple of weeks, and also a letter that went out, and this caused a lot of consternation. But one thing I liked about the cab is it reflects the desired diversity in gender, cultures, and geography in terms of KPFK's broadcast footprint. One area that we do need, though, is some Asian programming. There's a dire need for that, and I would like to see that happen in the near future. The way we begin our meetings is by asking people if there are any cultural events going on that we should be in attendance to. Because, again, that's an opportunity for community outreach. The cab has shown a real commitment to the station. For instance, tomorrow we're doing a thing at Fatburger in Studio City. Everybody who comes in mentions KPFK, 20% of their purchase gets donated to the station. So it's a little something. It's just a way for people to say, I am committed to this station. The cab has the most harmonious meetings of any committee or body meeting that I've experienced, and I really appreciate that. And I know if Ziri on this call?
No, she's on the other one.
Okay, because if you require feedback for the Rebel Alliance News, we have, a diverse cab, and they can help probably head off some of the problems that come up in the normal order of business. So I'd like to offer those folks as a ready and willing resource. And if there's any questions, I'm ready to answer them.
Does anyone
I have a question. Please. I have one.
Go ahead, Amelia.
Mr. Hyde said this.
This is Dan McCrory. This is Dan McCrory.
McCrory, yes, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Where in Culver City specifically, and at what time does this begin?
We don't meet in Culver City. We meet
the Fatburgers.
The Fatburger. That's in Studio City. And it's on the Boulevard, if I remember right. And
City where?
It's on. I think it's on Ventura Boulevard. If you want to put an address in.
Okay.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Any other questions?
Any other questions for Dan McCrory? Dan, we're on your time limit. You got 7 minutes to spare. Ruth Strauss has a hand. Ruth, go ahead.
Morning, Ruth.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this was a pilot that Dan did, and as everybody knows, Fatburger is all over town. It may be my first opportunity to go to my neighborhood one, but I suggested to him that since I think the person he knows owns at least four, that and people, you know, obviously don't all live near Studio City, so we're going to try to expand that you know, as a possible opportunity to get a little bit more money. Thanks.
By the way, Ruth has been very generous with her time acting as a liaison between the LSB and the cab.
Well, thank you both. Does the Fatburger have anything vegan?
I do believe they do.
All right. That's good to hear. Is there a need to officially approve your report?
Since the cab is outside the governance of the station, I wouldn't think there'd be a need.
Well, let's do it anyway. Does anyone object to approving this report from Dan? Just so we have it on the record, you may need it or the station may need it. Are there any objections to approving this report? Hearing none, it's approved. Thank you, Dan. Great.
Thanks, everybody. I got to go to a funeral now, so take care. Have a good day and a good meeting.
Well, we're sorry about that funeral, but thank you so much for your great work. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, we're at the time for the IGM report, followed by go ahead, Myra.
I'm sorry, Paul Roberson put I failed to put the appeal for funds in the agenda.
Do you want to make the appeal?
Does go anyone? Ahead. Go ahead.
Paul, did you want to make an appeal for funds?
Sure. So I just want to make an appeal for funds, for support. We are a collective. We are a group. This is our station. And as we are facing some dire financial times, we need to take the initiative to support this station with our money, with our time, with our efforts. So go to the website, and, become a sustaining member and continue to listen to our programming and engage in our meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. That was beautiful. Much appreciated. By the way, I can't resist asking, is that the United Nations behind you? That building?
It is.
Uh-huh. It is. Okay. Checking it out. Very good. Thank you so much. Okay. We're going to have the IGM and the, how did you want to phrase it, Kim, not the treasurer's report? How did you refer to your report?
Review of the fiscal year 2020.
Review of the fiscal year. I'll write that down.
Budget. We're doing the looking at the budget.
Review of the budget. Okay, very good. Novick, do you want to give us a 5-minute IGM report, please?
I don't see him.
He's on there, but maybe he's in the other meeting. Michael, there you are. Okay. Michael Novick, you've got 5 minutes, please. Can you hear us?
I'm having a little trouble here with my computer.
All right, we can hear you now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So I did send a written report. It's the second one this month because you had the meeting on the first. So some of the additional information related to the physical plant and the transmitter. We had two sources of problems with the plumbing, essentially. Just the other day, the toilets overflowed. That apparently, after we got the plumber out, turned out to be because somebody had stuffed paper towels down the women's toilet on the first floor, and it flooded the hallway pretty badly. I was notified by separately by Stuart Landau that there was a leak from the water heater, and I did examine it. There was a lot of water on the floor soaking up into a lot of clutter in the closet upstairs that the water heater was in. I cleared that up, and when the plumber came out, the flooding problem from the toilets was relatively simple to deal with, but his assessment is that the water heater is leaking from the bottom and needs to be replaced. So because the building is up for sale, I couldn't see how we could possibly do that. We also don't have the money for it. So we shut off the water to the water heater and shut off the burners. We'd been wasting a lot of money on water and gas, apparently, because it kept leaking and refilling and reheating. So at this point, there is no hot water in the building, and the leak has stopped because I guess it's not being heated up and it's not, as much pressure in it. But if we stay in the building, there will have to be a new water heater. I was shocked to learn from the plumber that the expected life of one of those water heaters, which is, the industrial size, I think it's 50 gallons that we have now, and it used to have 80. But he replaced it about 16 or 17 years ago. It's the same plumber we've had, I guess, all this time. And he said the lifespan is only about 12 or 13 years, I can't say that anybody ever built into the budget plans for replacing the water heater, among many other things that really have not been replaced over a long period of time. We have made some small programming changes this month. The Society of Native Nations was expanded to 1 hour because of a prior commitment from the PNB that we should be covering missing and murdered Indigenous women as well as indigenous environmental water and land protection. And so to accommodate that, you know, we put News Views on hiatus, and then we also, Marlena Bond, who's the interim program director, has been working to develop some additional local public affairs programming. So we started two of those that this week. One is called The Constituency, looking at, you know, civic and government affairs, particularly around questions of housing and houselessness. And the other is called The Animal Agenda, looking at treatment of animals and human-animal relations in L.A. Those are both half hours. And so in addition to moving Society of Native Nations from half hour to an hour at a different time, we also put Laura Flanders show on hiatus for now. So we're looking at further program changes in November after the end of the fund drive, probably about the middle of the month, including trying to find a spot for Solartopia. It might only be a half hour. We're looking at moving Democracy Now! Back to 8 a.m. and finding other places for the Morning Mix radio magazine programs. And we're in the process of trying to establish a program council that would include some listeners along with some key staff members to, you know, help in that process and evaluate some of the proposals that are coming in. The fund drive is on. The daily average, I haven't looked today, but last night when I wrote up and sent out the report, we were averaging about $3,200 a day. And about 30 pledges a day. So the number of pledges is up a little bit from 24, which is only about one an hour. But the total amount of money is really not sufficient. Most of the fund drives this past year have increased a little bit as they have gone on, so we're hopeful this one will. But based on those figures, I'm not sure when we're dealing with the budget. I guess maybe in the treasurer's report, but the proposed budget for the coming year based on provable income is still, you know, in a deficit. The station has not actually covered its cost of operations in many years. It's not just this year that it's a problem, but it's accumulated, you know, unpaid agent payables for a long time, and it has shorted the foundation for about 6 years on the I mean, it's called central services, but basically it's the money that it's our share of national costs, like the accounting, the audits, the insurance, and so on. And we're not covering it, and that's problematic for everybody, not just us. So I have a side letter with the budget about plans for increasing revenue, and that includes an underwriting project based on the PNB motion to allow additional underwriting, like what we've been doing with, you know, some cultural events.
6 minutes.
But we'll be looking at, you know, small businesses, community organizations that would be willing to underwrite the station in return for announcements on air of the support they're providing us, and consistent with the PNB motion on it and with the FCC regulations about underwriting. And, you know, again, we've set a goal to try to double our membership over the course of the year, which would mean about a 6% increase, each month, compounded, you know, would double back to where we were before the precipitous drop in 2021.
Excuse me. I wonder if I might be recognized to sure. ask a quick question. Harvey, is that okay?
Anyway, the elections are completed, and the PNB, I guess, decided that new delegates would be, or the people elected would be seated in December for the 2 years remaining on that term from 2022 when the election didn't happen. But I want to congratulate the winners and thank everybody who ran and voted and urged people, whether they won or lost, to stay involved with the station and participate. The committees are open, and there are lots of things that people can do. Charlie Wilkin, who was one of the candidates who didn't win, but he's been working on the Twitter stream for the station. He's been working on this project with the ice shields. And if all the candidates would do similar, we'd be in a good position. Thank you. That's all.
May I ask a question, Harvey? You are muted. Harvey.
Okay, I'm unmuted and okay. Beth will, go ahead.
Yeah, Beth, if you could just, tell us you're here and we'll put you down as here, but I have a question for Michael. So if you could just say present, Beth, we'll put you down as present for the meeting.
Present, and I have a point of information, please.
Of course.
Okay, go ahead. And then
I would like to know why the access information was changed at the last minute with inadequate notice. So that it took me half an hour getting timed out on the other Zoom number waiting to get into this meeting.
Beth, I can answer that. I screwed up and I apologize and it was entirely my fault and I apologize.
I pointed it out when
we all came together to fix it. It's now changed on KPFTX and it was my mistake. I apologize.
If this were the first time, that might be credible, but it's not.
You're calling me a liar? Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Beth. Go ahead, and then we go to Kim.
At any rate, I have a question for Michael, if I might, just real quickly. You mentioned that you're trying to get figure out when you might put Solartopia, California Solartopia, back on the air. This is a very critical moment right now for Diablo. There are critical safety tests that have to be undertaken within the next week, and we really need to get the information out to KPFK, to the KPFK listeners. It's been a great disservice to the anti-nuke community and people who are concerned with the safety of California to keep California Solartopia off the air for all of these months when very critical decisions have been made. And I'd like to know from you if we could possibly have an emergency meeting, an emergency show to talk about these critical safety tests that really have to be undertaken within the next week or two. Just want to put that.
Okay. It is difficult to make changes during the fungi, but we'll see what we can do. I'll talk to you off the air.
Okay. I appreciate that. And I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Pardon me. I have my hand raised. This is Ruth.
Go ahead. I thought Ruth was a legacy hand, but go ahead. And then we're going to go to
Well,
Kim.
It was, but I want to ask too. Michael, can you tell me what the rationale was for removing Laura Flanders and what was put in her place?
It's temporary. We're planning to, again, to, as I say, shift a bunch of program around. We'll bring Laura Flanders back. But, as I say, Marlena Bond has been developing, some local, public affairs programs and, that she's helping to produce and, with, local, activists, so the two of them are the constituency, and I believe that went into the slot that was vacated by making a Society of Native Nations an hour
long.
Well, Animal Agenda is the one that went into where Laura Flanders was in the half hour.
So we'll try
to bring Laura Flanders back in November when we make some additional changes.
I will just state on the record that I'm sure there were other places that Animal Agenda could go into besides removing somebody who's been an important contributor to KPFK for a long time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to move up. Appreciate that, Ruth and Myla and Michael. Thank you for your report. If you'll stick with us, we're going to get the
view
of the budget from Kim.
Yeah.
Can Harvey, go ahead, please.
Harvey, I'm sorry. Just one more.
I'm sorry. One of the things I missed part of the PNB. I'm sorry, the CAB report, but I did see the letter that was. Has that been discussed at all? The letter, the CAB letter.
Well, it was briefly mentioned, but Dan has moved on.
Okay.
Dan had to go. So.
I'll just say that in relation to what was in the letter, the next day I was on the air the newscast retracting some of that report, and then subsequently had a long talk with the reporter about it. He acknowledged some errors he had made and also explained that his concern was about violence in the community. So I don't know. We can talk about it further.
I think maybe at the next meeting when Dan returns, that would be great. Okay. We're just grateful to have a report and he had other commitments, and he did make the report a great personal effort. Go ahead, Maya, and then we want to go to
housekeeping briefly. Would the person who has who's phoning in from 713-1110 care to identify themselves? Yes or no?
And I see Mike Bressler is with us. Mike, good to have you with us.
Sorry for the screw up about the Zoom information, Mike.
Okay, and Mike, if you're out in the desert, I recommend you wear a hat. We have Kim Coffin now for the review of the budget, please. Kim, go ahead. Thank you, Michael, again.
Wait, this is the GM's budget. Michael should, you know, talk about it first. Do you feel comfortable doing that, Michael?
Okay, yeah. You know, the budget is based at this point on provable revenue, you know, based on past experiences, as I've said repeatedly on these calls and in my, you know, reports to the listener on air and in the dispatch. The station has not been covering, you know, its entire cost of operation for many years, and that's the source of the problem. And that's still the case. So I do have a side letter with some proposed increases in revenue that I'm hopeful about, but I have no basis in which even to estimate what they'll bring in. But the budget that is presented continues to not cover the full expenses, particularly not the what are called central services, even though they've been reduced somewhat. And even you know, a little shy really covering the you know, the local expenses, so called. But the, you know, the central services covers the accounting, the audits, the insurance, and we're you know, the foundation is not covering those. So the insurance has lapsed, the audit has not yet been done for fiscal year 2022, and that's partly the responsibility of KPFK for not paying its share. We're not the only ones. But internally, the station also has a lot of aged payables, as I mentioned in the written report. I don't think I said it just now, but yesterday, basically, I learned from the national business manager that Allegiance, which is the company that manages our, you know, donor, you know, it processes donations and it manages the donor database, they sent her a notice that if they don't receive some payment from KPFK and from WBAI for past due bills, they will cut us off in a month. So that was the first time I'd even seen that invoice, and I suspect it's not in the budget, actually. Apparently, even Terry Guy hadn't seen it, and he's the, you know, the membership director, and as a person who's mostly dealing with Allegiance. So there's a lot of, you know, flawed record keeping, unfortunately. Basically they're billing us, I think, something like $1,700 a month. Those bills went to the national office because Pacifica has contracts with Allegiance for four of the five stations. And so I did ask the national business manager to see if we can negotiate a reduction. Apparently we're paying for four licenses at something called Ultimate. I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds to me like we could reduce the number of licenses and the level of access that we have and try to reduce the cost of that, maybe even retroactively, because one of the licenses was for the previous GM who set up Allegiance instead of Memphis, and he's been gone for quite some time, and nobody has used that license. But those are the kind of things that have just kind of, you know, been left, along with the idea that, you know, when we haven't budgeted to replace the water heater, or on and on and on. The things I'm putting forward are this underwriting proposal to under the PNB authorization to increase the underwriting that we get from small businesses and community organizations, that we would then air brief announcements along the lines of support comes from XYZ business or, you know, ABC community organization. along with the ones that are already airing for some of the cultural venues that the Magnum Peak arranges for. And, we do have a goal to try to double the membership back up to where it was before the precipitous drop in 2021. And that can be done fairly systematically where, I want to thank Kim for the work she did on putting together the analysis of the August drive. And we have been talking to, some programmers already about, trying to make sure that, all programmers are actually raising money. Some of that is done off air. It's not necessarily done during the fund drive. So for example, the Spanish language programs have set certain goals for themselves and it could be on air during the drive, or they have done community events where they covered the costs and all the proceeds come to the station. So that has been accounted for, but it doesn't appear in the fund drive results. And then the last thing is that thanks to Mike Bressler, we were in touch with a woman with a lot of development experience, fundraising experience, and we're trying to map out a two-phase major donor and capital campaign, to raise significant funds shorter term for some of the things I just mentioned, the ice shields and the audits and, power supplies at the transmitter. But most of it would actually be for Pacifica as a whole, but those pieces of it would immediately benefit us here. And then longer term, trying to get a campaign that would actually relieve the burden of some of the accumulated debt, because most of Pacifica's debt is not, it's not borrowing money to invest in capacity and improve technology and so on, but it's been basically covering unmet operating expenses. You can't go on that way for very long. So if we can at least clear that up and then put ourselves in the position to, steadily increase our revenue through building up our membership base again and through these other revenue streams. But the budget, I was once a treasurer and tried to project what I thought we could, work with the GM at that time to try to see if we could, come up with revenue, and it did not materialize, and I don't want to do that again. So the budget that was submitted is, a deficit budget essentially based on what we can prove, roughly speaking, we can rely on as sources of income. And then there's a side letter spelling out some of the things we just talked about as potential revenue that we can't really even estimate.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Michael. And it's a tough thing. Go ahead, Kim, now. Are you satisfied? Do you want to give us the review of the budget?
I can add that we basically did include the water heater in the budget. While we were talking about the budget, we increased the maintenance based on a previous plumbing, and we upped that, so it basically is covered in a budget number that we can't pay for. So and Allegiance is in the budget as well, and has been another bill that's just been accruing for a bunch of years.
Goes back to 2021 also, when we stopped paying them.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Kim, go ahead, proceed, please.
Basically, the total revenue in the budget is 1,000,001. And, the personnel is about $800,000. And all of the expenses are, total expenses. Wait, this is weird. Well, anyways, including central services, we're looking at a deficit of like $277,000. So.
Is that for the year?
Pardon me?
Is that for the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
basically, without central services, it's about, well, you know, on paper here, it's $45,000 less expenses. It would be a $45,000 deficit, just revenue to expenses without central services. But even that's kind of not the picture because we have, you know, lots of past bills for paying.
Tim,
you switched on your microphone switched, your audio switched.
Switched to what?
Here, now you're good. You're good now.
Oh, audio didn't switch. I just leaned back. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So, you know, it's basically a deficit budget, but you know, we still need this structure, to look at every month, basically to see if we're in line with these numbers or not. I mean, that's the point of a budget. And, I think the PNB needs to know that this is our best estimates of revenue and expenses. And you monitor this. And that's why we're going through this. This is like the only thing defined in the bylaws that this LSB is supposed to do. So that's why we're doing this. And
This is Michael. Can I add one or two other things?
Please.
Michael just...
Wait, Michael.
Quickly say just that people should know that I attached the budget and your addendum to it in an email to all the local station board members this morning if they wanted to follow along. That was attached. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you very much. Michael, you want to add something? Then we'll
I want to point out two things. One is that the LSB is supposed to do a quarterly analysis of the budget and the bylaws and send it to the PNB as to how we're doing. And the other is that in terms of the personnel costs, which are the largest costs, people should recognize that the personnel costs that we're currently paying do not include a general manager, program director, a business manager, operations manager, development director, et cetera, et cetera. So that the reason it's even as close to, balance as it is for the local expenses is because we've slashed management to the bone and beyond, and you're getting, a lot of unpaid work out of people that, you know, at some point you want to have a goal of actually being able to, rectify that.
Woof. Okay. Pretty grim. Myla? You're muted, Myla.
Thank you. I'd like to offer a motion, and I'm putting it in the chat right now, and I'm also sending it as an email to the local station board, and it reads as follows. The local station board reviewed the KPFK fiscal year 2024 budget along with the addendum to the FY24 budget submitted by IGM Michael Novick. The budget is a reasonable estimate of revenue and expenses. It is a deficit budget and we cannot approve it. We forward it to the National Finance Committee for their review.
Okay, is there a second to that motion? Anybody want to second that motion, please?
I second it.
Thank you, Paul.
That was Oye Oye Ipo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oye, I didn't see you didn't light up on me. We don't have a picture of you, Oye, but that's your choice. Is there objection? Is there objection to the motion?
This is Michael. It's not an objection, but it's the same thing I raised in the Finance Committee. I think it's just a provable revenues. Where it says estimate of revenue. Because to me, that's the point, is that there's other potential revenue, and that's what the side letter is about.
Kim, do you accept that addition?
Sure. I mean, it's...
Okay.
It's the best estimate of revenue.
He's saying...
Without fantasy revenue. Okay, that's the point, you know.
Yeah, provable. But I think that's fine. Is there objection to the amended motion?
Well, I actually, what I would, a word that I think is more accurate is historical. Okay. It's based on the historical record. Provable? Okay, I don't know. What's provable?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Right. But it's based on, based on estimate of revenue based on, historical numbers.
Okay.
Kim, would you do me a favor and send me an email with the, new wording, please?
Okay.
Okay. Is there objection to the amended, motion? Hearing none, it's approved. Thank you both very much, Kim and Michael. Is there now comment on what Kim and Michael have said? This is the core of our reason for meeting. We're at 11:25. I'm still aiming to adjourn by noon. It is Sunday, and we want Mike Bressler to get out in the desert there. Does anyone have comment on this a double presentation by Michael and Kim? Please raise your hand if you want to comment.
Michael? It's Sandy. I don't have a hand.
Go ahead, Sandy.
I have a question for Michael. I'm curious about the downstairs ladies' bathroom. Was that sabotage? I mean, who would do that?
I don't know. That was my first reaction. I don't want to interpret anything, but if I could find out who was responsible, it was either sabotage or extreme I don't know what to say, negligence, or I don't like to use the word stupidity, but, somebody should, if I could find out who did it, I would hold them to account.
Are you still keeping the numbers of people who are allowed to come in at a minimum?
Yeah, generally speaking, the people who come in are people who are on the air, either as a host or guests. There's not much, a couple of people have come, I forget John's last name, comes in to answer calls during the fund drive, but I don't think he's going to
have you interviewed people?
I'm sorry?
Have you interviewed people and put up a big sign in the bathrooms now?
Terry had a sign for quite some time up in the bathrooms from a previous problem. We've also posted, I should mention that the building is posted both at the entrance to the parking lot and the entrance to the building. Saying enter at your own risk, and entering the premises releases Pacific and KPFK of any liability or claim or anything that occurs.
But I mean signs in the bathroom, like you don't do this, like are in most
bathrooms? Yes, Terry said he had to sign up after the last time something happened with it, trying to make it clear that nothing should go down the toilets but toilet paper or,
Are they in Spanish and English?
I don't know, but whatever happened during the day.
Okay.
I can't find my hand. I want to say something. I work in facilities, and unfortunately people who have, for example, colitis or other problems sometimes decide to use inappropriate stuff to flush that down the toilet. It's a form of embarrassment, and unfortunately it happens, and we have that problem all the time.
Well, you're at Fox.
Finish my thought. I regularly buy and restock out of my own pocket toilet paper for the station
It's not that there's not toilet paper there. It has to do with the messes people make on their own and feeling embarrassed to try to walk out of a stall or something to that effect.
Okay. That happens. Oye has a hand, Oye, please. Oye, do you have a hand?
Yeah, he's.
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
First I'd just like to commend Michael and Kim. This is the most transparency I've seen with the financial report since I've been on the board, so kudos to both of you. I just wanted to know what other cuts that you guys are thinking about making to bring in the budget a little closer to being balanced, because a deficit budget is not, we're not raising revenue and we're not using fantasy revenue, but what cost can we, I mean, and the building is going to be sold at the same time. What cost are we looking to, have we identified to cut to bring the budget closer to being balanced?
Well, I mentioned in relation to Allegiance, I think it might be possible to negotiate a cut in the number of user licenses and the amount of access we have might reduce what we have to pay them. There are a couple of other things like that that we could do. But we have, just to be clear, if you look at the last several years, we've reduced expenses dramatically. And, you know, last year, especially over the course of the fiscal year just ended, we reduced the expenses more than the reduction in revenue. So that's, you know, that's the reality. But as I say, a lot of that is because we're not paying for practically any management except for the part-time chief engineer. But we have reduced development costs. We have reduced administrative expenses. The only other place to really reduce the costs is in, you know, payroll. And that is something that has to be negotiated.
This is Kim. Can I speak?
Go ahead, Kim.
I would say that you basically can't cut your way out of where we're at. Cutting here and there is not going to get us where we need to go. I sent out, you know, pretty detailed reports on the fund drive, and I suggest you all take a look at that. Because that's where your revenue is and is not.
And that's the problem right there. So
we figure out how to get listener support, it's, you know, we're stuck. And I just, as to Laura Flanders, I mean, somebody may like it, but it's never raised a dime for us. And it may be a good show. People may like it. But I believe that shows like that, which are produced not from us, you know, management needs to figure out a way to cut in and raise money for these shows. So
that's it. Ruth Strauss, do you have a hand? And then Mike Ressler?
Yeah. To Kim's point, there are many, many programs that fit the description, including the new ones that don't raise money. But the reason I had my hand raised is that I thought that Sandy made some really important points. I never even thought about the idea of sabotage, but the business of having bilingual signs both in the stalls or at the mirrors, and I don't know, I haven't been in that restroom, but that needs to be very prominent. I mean, you would think at this point in time that everybody would know. So it is interesting that she said something about sabotage, but those signs do need to be prominent and they do need to be bilingual. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Ressler?
Yeah, I just wanted to check about the underwriting project that Michael had mentioned, because that seems to have possibly some promise, but it wasn't clear to me. Is that something in the works? Is that something Yes. that started, or is that something that's planned for the future? And do we have the wherewithal to, how far can we take that?
There's about a half a dozen people that have been working on it with me. Andrew Weiss was on this call, I see. I think Margo, a number of other people, and more have been signing up for it. Stuart Landau is involved, Ziri, it was a PNB motion adopted some time ago. KPFT has been doing something with it already. Their estimation of how much it could raise is, you know, that it's a marginal increment to the income of the station, which I think is probably realistic. But we have worked on a contract and a cover letter, and I vetted those with the ED, the council, John Almel, the compliance officer, and the PNB regarding, you know, making sure that what we're doing passes muster, both with the PNB motion and the FCC regulations. And we will vet the individual underwriting announcements with John L. Mella, who did the same thing for the, music ones we've been doing when it got started, just to make sure everything is on the up and up. Thus, there are serious penalties if you violate, and it becomes something that sounds commercial. And we're hoping to start it, before the end of the fund drive at this point, because we do, you know, the need for income, additional revenue is very, very serious. KPFT is talking about, putting people on commission to do it. We're not going to do that. Everything here is on a volunteer basis. And so we have volunteers who, and if people are interested in volunteering, I have to talk to D'Angelo Jones about getting an underwriting at kpfk.org email set up so that we can have a single point of contact for all of it. Because part of the PNB regulation is that it not be done individually by individual programmers, but centrally by the station so that everything is, you know, consistent. But we're going to start it as soon as possible.
Michael, I assume you're working with the national ED, Stephanie, on this?
Yeah, as I said, I sent Stephanie, Arthur Schwartz, Jim Dingaman, I think, who wrote the PNB motion about it. James Sagerton, I think. Is he still the chair of the NFC?
I think he's on the call, or he was. James,
yes, he is.
You can pipe in if you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
John L. Mella.
Michael.
Yeah, I'm on the call, but I'm driving, so I wasn't able to hear what the question was.
We're talking about the effort to begin more underwriting for KPFK, because this was a PNB motion on that. That's all.
Yes, that's ongoing, and that's, you know,
yeah.
That was not a decision that we took lightly, but, you know, we are in a life or death struggle here, so we went with underwriting, and we're trying to implement it.
Okay, thank you, James. Drive carefully, please. Mike Ressler, is there more you want to add or ask?
No, I appreciate the information. That's it.
Okay. Is there anything further for Kim and or Michael on this? That's the core of what we're here to do, and it's I've heard happier reports, but as long as it's accurate, yeah, That's what's important.
I'm sorry, Dan left, but Dan McCrory from the cab made an arrangement with a restaurant nearby the station for Monday that it's like dine and donate. So the deal is, because we're a nonprofit and he cleared it with Stephanie and got the nonprofit thing for them, any purchases made with a coupon that went out in the dispatch will get 20% of that for the station.
And which restaurant is it?
What's that?
What's the restaurant?
Fat Burger.
Well,
as I pointed out in the dispatch, they serve turkey burgers and they serve veggie burgers, and so.
All right, I'll go get a veggie burger. Anyone else on this? Again, thank you both very much. It's greatly appreciated. Can we get the PNB director's reports? Who wants to go first? Valia?
Okay. The honest report is, at the PNB, we are losing Alexa. That's a sad note, but based on elections and terms and things like that, we have seen the last of him at the PNB. So,
well,
come on back,
you,
Ali. You're an awfully great person to have on a committee. Now, moving on. We've been consumed with elections. Every meeting has been dominated by election information. And I know that those few things other than that, I would defer to Beth Van Gunten, who is very, very prepared usually for those kinds of reports. But what else can I say? The election did terminate on the 10th of October, and We don't have a full report yet. We've got a lot of almost full reports. But Renee Peñalosa, I like to call her, will, as the chairman of the election, the supervisor, says that she'll have some information tomorrow. So I know there was a lot for them to deal with, a lot of complaints, a lot of no ballot issues, and all of them, I presume, are legitimate. It was an awesome task to undertake, but I want to thank anyone who may be listening for all you put into that process, from the nominations to the campaigning through the elections. It has not been easy for anyone. All right. That's what I'd like to say.
Thank you, Averia. Much appreciated. And thank you, Ali, for your great service. You're not on the call, but we do appreciate it. Beth Von Gunten.
Thank you. Do you hear me?
Yep.
Can I be heard?
Yep.
Thanks. So PNB directors report to the listeners and KPFK LSB for today. I've emailed this to everyone, so you should find it somewhere near the top of your email. finances, continuing attempts to sell the KPF property and other matters are covered elsewhere by others. So this report will focus on the PNB investigation into the challenge to the KPFK roster. The PNB, excuse me, the PNB investigative committee assigned to address Eric Jacobson's complaint that he was wrongly removed as a delegate continues its investigation, preparing its report to the PNB for this Thursday, October 19th. To that end, I've previously requested information from the KPFK LSB officers documenting and explaining their changes to the roster this year. Other than to refer me to past minutes, there has been no response. The rosters having been changed between meetings by the officers and not in a convened meeting by the body, the minutes make minimal mention of the changes, the process, or the justification, and so are of limited value to the investigation. To better inform the PNB, I further request copies of any and all correspondence between the officers and Mr. Jacobson and any and all other delegates removed this year, consistent with the previous custom of this body, as is the longstanding tradition of our longstanding Pacifica policy. Please consider this a director's inspection as per California Corporations Code. Any response to these inquiries received in time to incorporate into the final investigative committee report to the PNB will be included in the committee's findings. The KPFK LSB, having failed to provide due process or any means of appeal at the local level and having duly referred the matter to the PNB for resolution, the KPFK LSB roster dispute must now be resolved by the PNB before the LSB can hold valid elections for any position, as was already ruled regarding the previous suspended KPFK LSB elections for national committee members. The KPFK LSB's continued defiance of the PNB in attempting to proceed with directors' elections with the roster still in dispute is duly noted. Any election enacted with the roster still in question will again be challenged and submitted to the PNB for resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further? Okay, we'll proceed to committee reports.
That's everything. That's everything. Well, that's okay. Everything from my director's report. There are committee reports coming up, right?
Exactly, yes. You want to proceed with committee reports, please?
Shall I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Thank you. The Programming Oversight Committee reported at the October 1st meeting, and we haven't met again since then, but we do meet. We have our regular meeting tomorrow at 4 o'clock, as posted to KPFTX. The access information is there. That's our regular monthly meeting. Unfortunately, the executive director wasn't available for that regular meeting, so I asked if she would make herself available for a special meeting on Tuesday of this week, so day after tomorrow. Again, that access information is posted to KPFTX. This will be, we're specifically asking her thoughts on the future of KPFK programming. And I'm going to try to make arrangements to include as many people as want to call into that meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other committee reports? Does anyone else have a committee report to offer? Myra?
Yeah, I just want, Christina Avalos and I are also on the elections committee, and I think that Avelia pretty well summed it up. We're waiting for the final report from the National Election Supervisor, which will supply us with the names of the runners-up in this last election. The reporting this year was different than it has been in years past. And as a committee, I know that there are many of us who are hoping to have increased transparency in the tally of the votes. So that's what one of the things that I intend as a committee member to be working on in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Beth, is that a new hand?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you. Yes, it's inaccurate to cite Christina Avalos as a member of the National Elections Committee. I realize that the National Secretary of that committee has, on her own authority, included Christina in that roster. So there are now four representatives from KPFK instead of the requisite three. Until the roster dispute is resolved, the previously suspended elections to the national committees, those were suspended before there was an outcome. The fact that they've been defied doesn't change that. So Eric is indeed still seated on that committee and listed as a member of that committee. And to list anyone else without so much as putting the question before that committee or the governance committee or the PNB is audacious, to say the least. So it's inaccurate.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
Eric still represents us there. He has been excluded from this and all other LSB meetings since early June.
Okay.
But he's on the
line. Thank you for that. This meeting is recorded and your statement is noted. Are there any other committee reports? Okay, we'll move on. I want to note that Nicole in the chat has volunteered to make calls to LAFS donors. And Nicole, we really thank you for that. And it's great to have you on board. We really appreciate it. Okay, we're going to move now to public comment. Is there a public comment on anything that has come before in this meeting? Anyone from the public want to comment?
Is there a time limit, Harvey?
5 minutes. Well, we usually do 90 seconds.
Okay.
Can you do 90 seconds?
Sure.
Okay, go for it. Hello?
I'm just keeping the 90. I'm the timekeeper, Harvey.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you have 90 seconds if you want to add to that. Go ahead. Does anyone want to comment from the public? We have all the time in the world. We're 11:47. Eric, go ahead.
And this is Kim. I'm not finding a way to raise my hand on the Zoom thing. So put me on to public comment after others have spoken.
I don't see another. Is there someone else? Am I missing anyone? Andrew W., you want to make a public comment? And then Kim Kaufman. Anybody else raise your hand, please. Speak your piece now or forever. Go ahead. Andrew W.? Andrew W.?
He's muted.
All right. Can you hear me now?
I can. We can.
Yeah, this is Andrew Weiss, listener member, long-time listener member, KPFK Los Angeles.
Thank you so much. And it's 90 seconds, so go ahead, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am the unofficial coordinator for the KPFK underwriting working group that IGM Michael Novick spoke of. We've been meeting weekly. We expect to start initiating underwriting at KPFK immediately, hopefully this week, at least by the end of the month. It has the potential. It's pretty much open. I expect it to do quite well very quickly in the next few months. It has the potential to raise at least the entire budget for KPFK. Spots on the air will be 15 to 30 seconds, probably around 20 seconds apiece, so pretty unobtrusive, perhaps two per hour. Each community business, and it is community businesses only, no large corporations, community local businesses only, are eligible, and they must fit strict guidelines that the PNB has put out. They must respect the rights of all communities, immigrants, LGBTQ, the rights of women, workers, must not be involved with fossil fuel industry, Wall Street, et cetera, et cetera. Each business will be donating between $800 and $5,600 per month. It's capped at $5,600 per month, so no business can have undue influence over programming or anything. In fact, it's written into the authorization they may not have any effect, say, in any programming or anything for their contribution. And I expect we will be raising our entire budget within the next few months and supporting our local businesses and establishing connections with our local business community, which will open up many new things, hopefully eliminating fund drives, premiums, et cetera. Thank you.
Thank you. And, of course, I'm sure your dictates say nobody involved with nuclear power will be on our airwaves either. We appreciate that. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes, it does.
Excellent. Specifically. Thank you so much. Well, I hope we get a lot of solar installers. That would be wonderful. Eric Jacobson and then Kim Kaufman.
Yes, I'd like to associate myself with Beth von Gutten's remarks. And I'm anxious to hear the outcome of the PNB's deliberations and hopefully get restored to this body in time for the next two meetings. I didn't run for re-election, and my tenure will end in December. If I had been on this board, what I would have done at this meeting is made an emergency motion to register the sentiments of this LSB, deploring this, what I consider to be evil overreaction to the horrendous, attacks that occurred in the adjacent Gaza last weekend and is now developing rapidly into a genocidal assault on the people of Gaza. And this is something that this body has dealt with at my behest on prior occasions when Israelis have done this sort of overreaction that to me is part of a long-standing plan for genocide of the Palestinian people. And a body like this, which is representing the only truly independent media organization, for broadcast anyway, in the United States and possibly the world, not to be silent and to prioritize what is by comparison trivial concerns for extreme long shot scenarios about our own welfare here due to a nuclear power plant. It's unseemly. It's wrong. And this body should correct itself before this meeting adjourns, because we are witnessing, you know, before our eyes and with no dissent of any high profile person in the United States. I tweeted last night that somebody like Samantha Power, who wrote a book called The Problem from Hell about the Rwandan genocide, should resign her position at USAID immediately in protest. We are aiding and abetting a genocide. This is not the role of the United States. It's a betrayal of our values. And I would like this body, before it adjourns, to speak up. Thank you.
Thank you. Kim Kaufman?
I just want to, first I want to, comment on the Zoom access. It was a mistake on KPFTX. I originally used that link, and after a couple of minutes, I went back to see if there were any emails. And yes, on the email that came today, it was a different number. So I logged in, and
I mean, I'm sorry that one member waited a half an hour to finally figure out to go back and look, but this is not a plot against any person. It's not some New Day plot, as has been accused, and it's really sad that it's come to that. The member claims that what she's saying is a director's inspection. It is not. She should look up under California Corporations Code to find out what she thinks she's doing is just, you know, theater. It's unfortunate that a member keeps trying to make sure that nothing happens on this LSB. As for this programming theater, programming committee theater, I would recommend that people look at the data I sent out last night, because that is what a programming committee should be using, and it never has. It's not a real committee that does anything. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim, Michael Heiss, and then Carlos Zavala.
Yes, thank you, Harvey. I feel the need to respond to Eric's comments. There's no doubt that the situation in the Middle East has things going on from all sides. Yes, the Israelis should not go in and senselessly kill Palestinians. At the same time, the Palestinians who elected the government, and I don't want to get into the whole thing, but it was that little thing about beheading babies and all that. And, you know, yes, the Armenian and Rwandan and all of that. It is our job to present the news. It is not our job to say the station believes this and that. It's the same thing about Cuba. I agree with the motion that the idea of the motion that was presented, but it's not our place as a station to say this is a policy one way or another. And I just don't think that that's something that is appropriate. It's appropriate for us to point out what is going on without taking a one-sided opinion. It's just a constant one side or the other. And there are two sides to this, and there's wrong on both sides and certainly right on both sides. And I think that that needs to be said, and I've said it.
Thank you, Michael. Carlos Zavala. Carlos, you get the prize for best picture on our screen today. I love that beautiful boy. Thank you so much. Carlos, go ahead.
Well, thank you for that. I just wanted to mention there's more than one genocide going on. I mean, we have a lot of things, and Eric, you know, I was at a party last night, a 60th birthday party where a whole bunch of people were playing rock and roll, and the major topic was that. And one of the things that is, you know, we have genocides right here at home when we drive by our homeless. We have genocides, when we ignore what's going on in Africa, what's going on in any war zone. I mean, we kind of forget that, Obama tried to draw a red line, but they wouldn't give him war powers to do it. And they wanted to impeach him should he cross the red line of just doing that. You know, things. So we have to look at genocide and how we have genocides every day by wasting resources, because the more we waste resources and the more we allow people to waste resources, the more or the fewer people will be able to be sustainable into the future, and the harder the transition from today to sustainability will be. It's a difficult thing to address, but we have to make room for everybody, or somebody's going to be kicking somebody off the planet. So, you know, all I'm saying is give peace a chance. All I'm saying is let life advance past all this killing our taxes pay for. We deserve more than killing for war. That's
Thank
it.
You, Carlos. Myra, you're raising your hand. Thank you very much, Carlos. Appreciate that. Myra, you're raising your hand.
Sorry, I was muted. I apologize. I just wanted to raise a point of order and say that, you know, this time is designated for public comment. And it really isn't appropriate for the local station board members to be engaging in a debate during public comment.
Well, we're almost to the end.
And one other thing, and I know that, you know, Kim and Eric would like to speak, but I have a housekeeping regarding our attendance record that after the public comment period I'd like to raise.
Okay, Kim and then Eric, and I think we're going to move on. Paul has put in a resolution in new business that we can discuss. So we'll cut this off here. If anyone else in the public wants to make a comment, please do ASAP. We're past noon, but that's all right. We'll live. Did I say Eric first or Kim? Either one.
Kim.
Kim, go ahead then, Eric.
I just want to add that CAB report was not adequate to fulfill the CPB requirements, and I really recommend that people reread that once again and follow what the requirements are of both the LSB and the CAB. Thank you.
Thank you. Eric, go ahead, please.
There's some great confusion about the definition of genocide that was just expressed. It's a term of art, and it means something, and it's when a people are being exterminated, and that's the effort that's being made here, and it's a very grave charge. And I'm making it publicly here, to the extent this is public, on the stream, and it's something that this body went on record from a moral perspective to editorialize against when there was, lesser incidents of extreme violence against individual Palestinians, such as, the reporter who was targeted by an Israeli sniper. And for the body to remain silent from an editorial standpoint means that people are not taking their roles seriously as elected representatives of KPFK listeners. It's a privilege to be a representative, and you have to step up and take the role somewhat seriously. I disagree with Mr. Heiss that there should be no editorial statements coming from the LSB and for the station for that matter. I think the station is dropping the ball, because this is the time that people listen to Pacifica and KPFK for dissent. When things are going on before their eyes on their screens and on their televisions that are abhorrent morally, then that's where Pacifica has a chance to step in and be a voice of sanity and reason. And if you want to know, one of the reasons for our declining listenership is that it's lost that sense of itself. And this is a sad thing, really, because it's the whole reason for being that Lou Hill created Pacifica to do, and for us not to do it or to stand on ceremony, or I'm sorry, I disagree, and to trivialize what is being done by a first world military against the third world people. And to say that it has something to do with LA homelessness is obscene. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Roberson, please. Yes. Paul, you have your hand.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to kind of follow up on what Eric just said. I wanted to read the definition under the United Nations of genocide. They define genocide as a coordinated plan to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnic, religious, or racial group. And the UN Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crimes of Genocide, they also define genocide as killing members of a group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of a group, preventing births within a group, removing children from a group, and inflicting life conditions designed to bring about destruction. And these actions can occur during times of peace and in times of war. So I just wanted to clarify that so that you can make your own determination as to whether that is occurring. Thank you.
Okay. And Paul, you have a motion on Cuba.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes,
so
sir.
So when this public comment period is over, we'll go straight to that.
Fantastic.
Okay. Let's see. Who was next? I have three hands, here. Andrew. Okay. If the public have, we can get two comments. Andrew, you've spoken once. If you can speak this time, that would be fine. Then we'll do Michael and Myla, and then we'll go to new business. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yes, regarding underwriting, continuing, two things. First of all, independent organization I direct called Friends of Pacifica, formerly Pacifica Listener Forum, now Friends of Pacifica, will be holding a network-wide listener forum, community forum, or forum to discuss underwriting, to present what's going on at the various stations that are engaged in it, such as KPFK, KPFT in Houston, WBAI in New York. Hopefully we'll have their GMs or IGMs on the panel. And anyone for or against is welcome to speak. There will be open discussion about the issue, but mostly to present the potential for it. But we do, we will welcome anyone who has concerns about it and try and address it and air it publicly. The tentative date is Tuesday, October 31st, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time. If you're interested, email us at friendsofpacifica@gmail.com. Again, the email is friendsofpacifica@gmail.com, and a recording will be sent to anyone who gets on our contact list. If you're already on the contact list for Pacifica Listener Forum, no need to get on the contact list again. And then as far as the potential for underwriting again is unlimited. I forgot what I was going to say about our local effort.
You're too young to forget what you were going to say.
I missed that, but that's okay.
I said you're too young to forget what you were going to say, but go ahead.
You may be surprised. Anyway, what else can be said about our local efforts that, whether you're for or against it, we're not paying our bills currently. We need to pay our bills. I have heard no other solutions, to pay our bills. So whether you're for or against it, and I am, of course, for it, it's a way to pay our bills, if nothing else, in the short term. It's well regulated, and I think in the long term it has potential as well. And again, if someone has another idea of how to pay our bills, please do speak up immediately. Otherwise, please support this effort so we can pay our staff, pay our bills, and stay in business at least month to month going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael, and Michael, technically in this session, you're speaking as a member of the public, so go ahead, please. Michael? Michael Novick?
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
I'm sorry, yeah. I wanted to speak about the question of what's going on in Gaza. I put it in the chat. I'm trying to organize a National Day of Programming in Pacifica, Emergency National Day on all five stations, 24 hours. And, reaching out to academics and activists and to programmers at all five stations to see if we can organize something. That's all.
Okay. Thank you very much. Does anyone have anything else for the public session? Seeing no one, let's go to Paul Robeson in new business. Paul, you have presented a motion on Cuba.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to read it and then we'll discuss?
Yes, so I have a resolution urging that Cuba be removed from the U.S. list of state sponsors of terrorism. I'll go ahead and read that.
Okay.
Whereas President Biden has the authority to remove Cuba from the state sponsors of terrorism list by executive order and to recommit to the normalization of relations with Cuba begun by the Obama-Biden administration. And whereas for the past 62 years, the United States has imposed an economic, commercial and financial embargo on Cuba that prevents most engagement in trade with the United States and punishes other countries that engage with and whereas the consequence of this continues to inflict daily hardships and deprivations on the Cuban people, creating shortages of necessities like food and medicine, and severely restricting international financial and trade opportunities. It prevents Cuba from obtaining vital medical equipment and supplies, and even impedes humanitarian aid responses to catastrophic events like Hurricane Ian, which devastated both Florida and Cuba, thus harming the Cuban people, whom President Biden's administration claimed to support. And whereas the United Nations General Assembly voted to condemn the U.S. embargo against Cuba for the 30th time on November 3rd, 2022, with 185 of 193 nations decisively voting in favor, and only the United States and Israel opposed, and I believe Ukraine as well, they abstained. And whereas the United Nations in 2017 estimated that this embargo had cost the Cuban national economy $130 billion, averaging more than $2 billion each year. And whereas the Trump administration imposed 243 new sanctions upon Cuba, including restrictions on Americans who send remittances to families and businesses in Cuba. These sanctions contribute to a mass migration to the U.S., creating U.S. border security concerns. And whereas former President Trump arbitrarily reinstated Cuba's designation as a state sponsor of terrorism, less than a week after the January 6th attempted coup, reversed the Obama-Biden administration's 2015 decision to remove this status after an exhaustive review by the U.S. State Department, does not satisfy any criteria for inclusion on this list, and whereas Cuba's arbitrary designation has subjected them to further sanctions and international financial restrictions that limit the nation's ability to carry out critical financial transactions, including those needed to advance efforts to combat the COVID pandemic and improve its economy. And whereas in 2021, 117 members of the U.S. Congress called for the removal of Cuba from this list, noting in a letter a policy of engagement which serves U.S. interests and those of the Cuban people. Therefore, be it resolved that the station, KPFK 90.7 FM, strongly urges President Biden and Congress, each federal representatives in its jurisdiction, to call on the federal government to remove the United States list of state sponsors of terrorism, remove Cuba from the United States list of state sponsors of terrorism, and be it further resolved that the management and LSB local station board urge our congressional delegation to pass legislation that will eliminate those aspects of the embargo that have been codified into law and remove all sanctions against Cuba by the United States, and allow the people of the United States and Cuba to travel and trade freely between the countries. Be it further resolved that the station management will issue a press release regarding the details of this resolution to its media contacts within its jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there a comment, please? Oh, is this a motion that needs to be seconded? I'm unclear on that. All right, let's just proceed to comment. Go ahead.
If it is, I second. Excuse me.
Yeah, I'd like to say, Avelia.
Okay, so we have a second from Avelia Jones. Thank you very much. And from my wife, she can be a third. Go ahead, Michael Heiss.
Thanks, Michael. And thank you, Paul. You've raised a very important issue. And I think that it's shameful where we were moving towards I personally believe it's shameful that the government of the U.S. that was moving towards better relations with Cuba, that for the last two administrations was pulled back. No question about it. We need to get back to normal. My concern is that to make this a station policy, present programming, absolutely. Have an editorial on the air, perhaps. But as I said in response to what Eric said, it's the same thing about in the days when radio was really radio, if there was an editorial or if there is an editorial in a newspaper that we allow for an op-ed in order to present an opposing point of view. I don't see how anybody could have one with what you said, But you want to have an editorial, have an editorial. Putting out a press release, I just don't think that's our job. It's our job to present the news, to present opinion, and to let people decide on their own. My opinion, that's our job. And again, not to disagree with the concept of what you've said, and not to disagree in large part, but not totally, with the concept that of what Eric is putting forward. But we've got to be careful what we do and make certain that any editorial doesn't lean over into an area where we could be on the wrong side of what we're supposed to do as a non-commercial station. Take it or leave it.
Thank you, Michael.
Take what you want, as they say, take what you want and leave the rest.
Paul, did you want to comment? Paul Robertson, thank you for that, Michael.
Yes, sir. I do hear the comment and I do receive that, but I did want to say that we have made comments of a similar nature in the past. I know on Julian Assange and other important topics. In reading the mission statement this morning, I was reminded, specifically, that, you know, it states in radio broadcasting operations, you know, we engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to disseminate information on the causes of conflict between and all such groups and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation. And I would argue that, you know, this is a legitimate purpose of this corporation, and that, you know, in order to be on the right side of history, that we have to, you know, make a stand for justice, for righteousness, and to call out an immoral and unethical policy. I actually went to Cuba for May Day this year, and I was really surprised and saddened to see how, you know, those people live. You know, I understand a political policy, you know, to attack the government, but this specific policy is attacking the people, and it's reprehensible. And this actual, you know, document is going to be, well, we're working on it being approved by the city council in Los Angeles. So it's a movement that's getting a lot of momentum. And like I said, I think we need to be in the right side of history. So, I would, respectfully request that those in the LSB consider it and vote, your conscience, and vote to support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other comment? I just want to say that, if you don't mind, that this issue of making political statements as a board is very interesting and needs to be discussed further in terms of procedure. I think there should be a structured into our meetings a place for political statements to be made. But I think in general, it should be outside the regular business. In other words, there should be sort of a gray area between once we finish the business of the committee, and then to make political statements should be, have its own bailiwick in terms of procedure. I will vote for this, but I think that we, at the next meeting, we do need to discuss procedures as to how to make political statements. I think that's critical. There are many people who attend our meetings who want to just get the business done and move on. And then there's also this. So it's something, it's an interesting and important discussion. Andrew W. And then, is that it? So we can vote on this. Andrew.
Yeah, I am public if that's okay.
Please.
Pacifica bylaws, article 1, section 3, principles, quote, the foundation is committed to peace and social justice and seeks to involve in its governance and operations individuals committed to these principles. End of Article 1, Section 3. Thank you.
Thank you. So I would propose we'll put something on the agenda for the next meeting to discuss the procedures of how we deal with political statements. I think it's important, but that's just my own opinion. Does anyone else have anything to add to this before we vote on this motion? If not, Mima, do you want to call the roll? Or, well, I guess I should ask if there's objection. Is there any objection to this motion?
Harvey?
Yeah.
Again, I mean, there's a lot of good things that are being said here, but I think the best thing was in your last two sentences, which is without debating the merits of the motion. And again, I'm really torn about this, and I appreciate your response to my comments, Paul. I think that what you said about taking the time to put this motion aside for this meeting and this meeting only, so that we can really do some investigation into seeing what can be done, what should be done, and what goes over the line, so that we can craft a motion that goes to the point of where Paul is trying to go.
Okay, I think we will, I 100% agree with you, Michael, and I think we should have that discussion at the next meeting. At this point, there's a motion on the floor. If you are objecting, that's fine, and we can call the roll.
I object.
Okay, John Cromshaw. And John, I would strongly suggest you have Paul on your show to talk about this. That would be a great thing.
May I say something?
Please, of course.
Just to explain why.
Please.
There is a policy that we have, and the way that we show that policy is through our programming. For example, I interviewed someone who talked about censoring books in kindergarten. I didn't have to make a statement because her words told us what we needed to know about censorship and extending it to kindergarten. Brown Bear, Brown Bear. A very trivial example, and yet banned. So I think that there's a separate place to make statements, and perhaps the LSB should have a policy committee that would make public policy statements or something like that, but it should not be, in my opinion, part of the LSB. Amy Goodman does a wonderful job of covering news, and she covers stories that you don't hear elsewhere, specifically about those issues that have been discussed now. So that's why I would object.
Okay, so let's put our heads together and we'll have a discussion on procedure for how to deal with these political statements in the future. And Amila, do you want? But we are on board. I want to respect Paul's motion here. Can we call the question? Myra, you have a hand?
I'm ready to call the roll.
Harvey?
Sandy?
I have a question. Can you, nutshell this thing? I mean, can you just sum this up for me, what the motion is?
Paul, can you give us a 1 minute, an elevator summary?
Yes. So, and as I said, this resolution is, was actually submitted by the unions. And this is what's going to be given to the Los Angeles City Council. The proposal is simply to condemn and to request that Cuba be taken off the list of a state sponsor of terrorism. The document, encapsulated kind of succinctly, the history, the 62 year history of the embargo and the economic, commercial, and psychic consequences of, you know, of just unjust policy. And it just simply requesting that progressives and that this station that has a history of engaging in civil rights advocacy and social justice, you know, unilaterally or, well, I was hoping that it would be, you know, all of us, but most of us, you know, vote to support the resolution to take them off the U.S. list of state sponsors of terrorism.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for that. Can we have a roll call vote? Remember, you have four options, yes, no, abstain, or pass.
Okay, so let's start with Christina Avalos. How do you vote?
Abstain.
Okay. Doug Barnett is not here. Veronica Becerra, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Okay. Mike Bressler, how do you vote?
Pass.
Okay. Sandy Childs, how do you vote?
Abstain.
John Cromshaw, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Victor Ramia is not here. Nikki Hahn, how do you vote?
Nikki?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Nikki. Michael Heiss, how do you vote?
Vote no, but not, I vote no to the way the motion is written, but support, unfortunately, the idea of the motion, but can't vote for it for that reason.
So you're not abstaining, you're voting
no. I'm voting no. I just want people to understand that I agree with the principle of the content of the motion, not just not the way the motion is written. I vote no.
So Sue Cohen-Johnson, who actually did remove her request for an excused absence and was present in the other meeting, has not joined this meeting at all. So, Valia Jones, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Thank you. And Allie Lex asked for an excused absence. Rob Macon is not with us. Barbara Marbach is not here. Let me see if I get your name right, because, hang on one second here. I'm looking. Sorry, I don't, oh, Oye Kunle, Oye Ipo.
Yes.
I'm sorry, did I mangle it? I was looking at this different spelling than I had, but Oye, how do you vote? And tell me how to pronounce it, please.
It's, I vote yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Wait, let me get back down there. Yes. Thank you. Myla Reason, I do vote yes. Although I do also have reservations about the precedent of, and I look forward to figuring out how to deal with, political discussions going forward. Paul, this is your resolution. How do you vote?
Yes, ma'am. I also vote yes. And I also look forward to working with you guys and to collaborate with, you know, working on political resolutions as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ruth Strauss, how do you vote? We'll wait for you to unmute. Ruth, please unmute. Is Ruth still with us? Can anyone see?
I don't see her on the list here.
Oh, okay. I guess she had some kind of technical difficulty, I am guessing. Beth Von Gunten, how do you vote?
Thank you. I vote. Please record me as present, not voting.
I shall do that. Present, not voting. Okay. Carlos Zavala, how do you vote?
I feel it needs to be worked on and how it's worded and stuff. I don't know whether to release it exactly. So I have to abstain.
Okay.
I'm undecided.
Okay, thank you. And Chair, you vote last. How do you vote?
I vote yes.
Okay.
Myla, excuse me. Listening to what Carlos just said, could you please change my vote from no to abstain? Thank you for stating that, Carlos.
Okay.
Thank you for that, Michael.
Go back here to abstain. All right. Okay, so we have 6 abstentions which don't count towards, by the way, Mike Bresler, you passed, so you have an opportunity now to, tell us how you'd like to vote on this.
Yeah, I'll vote yes, but I also, think this should not be considered like a precedent that we need to figure this out and.
Great. Okay, so, there are, 0 no votes. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 votes. So the resolution passes because.
Hey, thank you. Very good. Thank you, Paul. And next time you go to Cuba, let me know. I've been dying to go for 50 years. I just haven't made it there. Okay, we have one last item on the agenda, which
is. There's one. Just if I might insert, I just wanted to say that that Sue Cohen-Johnson did write to me and ask for an excused absence because she was going to be participating in a pride event in Georgia. She's currently living in Georgia. And then she followed that up with another email saying that she had an opportunity to attend on Saturday rather than today, and that she would be able to come to today's meeting. It's my understanding that she did attend the alternate local station board meeting. So I would like to move that the only excused absences for this meeting are for Ali Lexa and for Vic Jerami. And those are the only ones that that ask for excused absences and for whom we should give excused absences. If that's okay, that's my motion.
Is there a second?
Second that.
Is there an objection? Hearing no objection, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Excuse me. I bet you did. I object. I don't want to vote.
Oh, I thought you didn't
that.
Object. I'm sorry.
It takes a moment to switch from one screen to another to unmute. And if I don't mute myself, I get muted again and again and again throughout the meeting. So I do my best to keep myself muted. So.
Okay. So there is objection, Myra. Can you call the roll?
Yes. Okay. So here we go. Christina, how do you vote?
Just
that we excuse the absences of, Ali Lexa and Vic Jerami, who asked for excused absences.
Yes.
Excuse me. That doesn't make it clear that you're excluding, Sue Cohen Johnson.
And that, okay.
That you're reversing.
Beth, let me restate it. I move that we, excuse the absences of Ali Lexa and only those individuals. I move that this local station board only excuse the absences of people who requested excused absences, and those individuals are Ali Lexa and Vic Jerami.
Yeah,
and
but
only those two.
Yeah, but Myla, she did request an.
She wrote back to me.
Myla, can we drop this? Can we drop this?
Well, yes, for the two people, yes.
All right, let's proceed. All right, finish it up then. Myla, you're saying that excused absences today include who?
Only Ali Lexa and Vic Jerami.
And is there a second to that motion?
I second.
Please call the roll.
Christina Obelis.
Yes.
Veronica Becerra.
Present.
And you're voting present without and not voting? I'm asking whether you agree to the motion to excuse only Ali Lexa and Vic Jerami.
Correct. Agree.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay.
Myla, can I ask a question? Michael Novick just brought up that there's a Sue on the screen. Is there any way of?
Oh.
If that's her.
Oh,
I'm trying to unmute, but I don't see it unmute.
Okay, let's find out. That would change everything. Okay.
It's asking to unmute, but no, there's no unmuting.
Well, if in that case, if Sue's with us, then, my motion is mute in that case. A moot. In that case.
It's actually mute is what it is. Let's try and clear this up.
I apologize. Let's continue. I apologize.
Yeah, just as a point of,
we'll try and clear it up for next
excuse
meeting.
Me, may I just say, Joan Crumshaw, as a point of order?
Yeah.
Myla made the motion. It doesn't imply anything else. She is making a motion to excuse two absences. Everything else can be addressed separately.
Okay, we can do that.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Well,
Christina and Veronica have voted
Yes.
Go ahead and finish calling the roll, please.
Okay, Sandy Child.
I'm a little lost by now, but I agree with the two, and I don't think Sue should be excused.
Okay, so we have two excused absences. Go ahead.
John Crumshaw.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Nikki Hahn.
Nikki, I think, is gone.
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Good. Right. Thank you.
Michael Heiss. Michael Heiss.
Oh, there's that unmute button. Yes to the two and no to Sue. Oh, and it rhymes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Avelia Jones.
Yes.
Thank you. Megan Oye. Okay. Me, I'm voting yes. Paul Roberson.
Paul, I vote yes.
Ruth Strauss.
Ruth is not where
oh, it was, right, I don't think. Oh, right, okay. Beth Von Gunten.
Present, not voting.
Okay.
Carlos Savala.
Yes.
Okay. All right, it passes. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So the last order of business is to fix the date for our next meeting. Do we have proposals for the next meeting? Myla?
Yes, I do. I have a proposal. Since the PNB directs us to have a meeting in December to seat the new members, and I propose that we meet on the first Sunday in December, and because there's so I move that our next meeting be the first Sunday in December, which would be
the third, I believe
December 3rd. That's my motion.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, Michael Heiss, you had a hand before.
Yes, I do. I just want to make certain we just went down this road within the last 4 weeks, and it caused some controversy, certainly something that never happens around here. But are we not required to have a meeting every month and have a meeting on the 18th and pretend you're a bunch of Republicans in Congress, open the meeting and close the meeting if you have to, but don't we have to have a meeting and have a meeting on the 18th? Goodness knows. I'm sure there's stuff that we have to discuss.
May I be recognized, Chair?
Go ahead.
This is Myla. If you refer to the bylaws, there's a section on meetings for the local station board. We're required to have meetings no fewer than a meeting every 2 months. We are not required to have a meeting every month, and we're only required to have meetings to address the responsibilities of the local station board, such as reviewing the budget, which we did today. And we would like to have a meeting at the beginning of December to seat our new members. We're not required to have as many meetings as we have been having. I can pull up the
Mr. bottom. Chair, my hand has been raised.
Go ahead, John, and then Beth, and then Avelia.
I agree that we need to have a meeting in November, even if it is a pro forma meeting. There certainly will be things to discuss. There's so much going on at the station, having to do with finances, other issues. I think that it's essential that we meet, and then the December meeting date can be determined afterwards. But let's focus on one issue at a time. Set the date for the November meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Beth Von Gunten, Avelia, and then Michael Heiss. Beth?
Thank you. This is not... Thank you. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm muted.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is not the first time I have raised the issue of the need for regular meetings. This committee, this LSB, has met more irregularly this year than otherwise. You know, that the longstanding custom of this committee, this LSB, to meet on the third Sunday of every month has been honored much more in the breach than the observation this year. And as I recall, when I raised this issue at the last meeting, when we met on the 1st of October irregularly, then the excuse for meeting 2 weeks after that, which is today, is that this would be the regular meeting, the third Sunday of the month. So I have a substitute motion to return to that commitment to a regular, predictable, plannable third Sunday of every month for the remainder of the year. Standard operating procedures, and no more playing around with schedules and agendas and calendars to suit anybody's individual agendas. We need to get back to standard practice for the whole LSB. Thank you.
Thank you.
Point of order, I believe that that motion is out of order.
Well, there's a motion on the floor we're discussing. John, go ahead.
And I'm offering offering a substitute motion.
So
that's
what I
in
believe,
order.
You call
well,
me,
what I'd like to do.
Mr. Chair. Yes. I believe that the order of business now is to complete the vote on this motion. And I already stated
not
some
the way it works.
Why I
you
would,
don't get to make up the rules that you
support having
go
a regular meeting on the 18th of November.
Well, actually, you're both proposing the same thing. So
no, I was just explaining my reasoning. I was not making a counter motion or a substitute motion. Not necessary.
Okay. Thank you for
out of order.
Thank you. Thank both of you. John, are you done? You want more?
Done.
John? Okay. Thank you. Beth, thank you. Avelia Jones and Michael Heiss.
Point of order.
No.
Point of order. Yes. This is the appropriate procedure for proceeding in Robert's rules.
I'm going to finish with the discussion, and then we'll figure out where we're at. You and John are both proposed meeting on the 18th of November. And there's a motion on the board.
That's not what I proposed, and it's out of order to set aside my substitute motion to do whatever the bleep you want. That's not the way Robert's rules work.
Well, we are at the end of the meeting here. I'm going to call on a comment from Avelia Jones and Michael Heiss, and then we'll see where. Oh, Sue Cohen-Johnson has entered the waiting room. So there you go. Okay, Avelia Jones, do you want to comment, please?
My comment is, let's all be peaceful, but I would like to say something at the end of the meeting before you adjourn.
Oh, okay, fine. Michael Heiss, do you want to say something?
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself, Ms. Jones. I would ask, in the interest of peace, that whoever it is that put the motion on the floor to vote for the December 1st meeting, please withdraw it, and then we'll vote on a November 18th meeting date and see if that passes, because that appears to be more in line with the general direction. Mark this down. I'm agreeing with both John and Beth in the same meeting. So, you know, let's call this a little bit of cordiality.
I'm here, by the way.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you for speaking up.
Wouldn't the third Sunday of November be the 19th?
I don't know.
Michael Heiss just asked if I would withdraw my motion for the December 3rd meeting, and I will not. I really believe that should be our next meeting date, and at some point I'd like to make a case for that. But I believe there's...
I have made a substitute motion. If this body ignores it, you're violating Robert's rules.
So I'm not withdrawing, but there has been a substitute motion made. So I think we need to deliberate about the substitute.
All right. Do you have anything to say on the dates that you want then and on the substitute motion?
My substitute motion is to return to a regular schedule of the third Sunday of every month and not be scheduling each of our meetings on an ad hoc basis.
So you are proposing that we meet on the 19th of November.
I am proposing that we meet on the third Sunday of every month for the remainder of the year, which would in fact be the 19th of November. But it's more than just a motion for one meeting. I'm proposing that we return to a regular order, not an ad hoc order.
And I object.
And the standing, the traditional regular order of this LSB before it blew up.
My hand is raised.
Well, Marla had your hand first and then you, John.
Point of order.
Okay.
This motion, I believe, is inappropriate because we have a motion on the floor. It can be voted down, and at that point, we can consider substitute motions. However,
I think we need to,
Harvey, you said, you ruled that we would continue as we are. So I don't think that Myla now can say we have a substitute motion on the floor.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're now well past 2 hours in the meeting. It's Sunday. I would like to have a vote, and you can vote for either November 19th or December 3rd. Take your pick. All right? And let's call the roll on that. If you want to, that Myla, can you
Let me set it up so that I can.
Let's set it up. You have two votes here.
Give me a second to. Okay, so people are voting for either our next meeting being December 3rd or November. Is it the 19th? Is that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Christina Avalos, do you vote for December 3rd or November 19th for our next meeting?
December 3rd.
Thank you. Veronica Becerra, do you vote for December 3rd or November 19th for our next meeting?
Pass.
Okay. Mike Bresler, which do you, November or December?
November.
Okay. Sandy Childs, how do you vote? December.
November.
November, not December?
I think we need another meeting. Don't we have any business to take care of?
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
You have a vote.
Okay. I vote for another meeting in November.
Okay. John Cromshaw, how do you vote?
November 19th?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Nikki Hahn, how do you vote?
Nikki?
I am wondering if we, in December, if there would be another meeting then in December to make up for, I'm going to go for.
You were breaking up. I don't think.
She voted for November.
Oh, okay. Okay. And Michael Heiss?
November, please.
Okay. Sue Cohen-Johnson, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Okay. Just give me a second here. I'm typing that in. Avelia Jones, how do you vote?
Reluctant November.
Okay. Ellie Lux is not here. Rob Mankin's not here. Barbara Barbach is not here. Oye, how do you vote?
November.
Okay. I still vote for December. Paul Roberson, how do you vote?
November 19th.
Okay. Ruth Strauss, how do you vote? Oh, I think, did Ruth leave? Is that, can anyone tell me? They don't see her?
I don't see her.
Okay, Beth Von Gunten, do you vote for November or December?
I vote to return to a regular meeting schedule November 19th.
Thank you.
To meet on November 19th.
I heard you.
My motion was not properly processed.
Okay, thank you.
I object to the process.
Carlos Zavala, how do you vote?
Yes, 19th.
November, okay. Well, it's pretty clear there were only, Chair, how do you vote?
I'll pass.
Okay, and, I'm sorry,
I mean,
wait, one more. I'd like to, circle back. Veronica Becerra, you passed. How do you vote?
November 19th.
Okay. So there's, it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 votes for November, only, 2 votes for December, and, 1 abstention. So November 19th, I believe, is what has been agreed upon by this body.
Okay, thank you very much. That was the last order of business. We have some hands up. Beth, you have a legacy hand. Is there more you wanted to say?
If we're convening again briefly, I want to know what is the actual current access information, because the two numbers on KPFTX differ from one meeting to the other. So I want to know where to show up.
May I respond? May I respond? I unfortunately made an error because I was going, it's very complicated, but it was a screw up on my part because I was sending out the information at the last minute. And, the correct information will be posted on, KPFTX. It will go out as automated on KPFTX, and that will be whatever is on KPFTX in your notification from KPFTX will be the proper information.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Evelia?
I need clarification. I need clarification.
I'm sorry. Beth, Myla has stated she will post the proper link, and that's
I'm requesting that it be emailed directly to us. If
that's
we're supposed
fine.
To go directly from this meeting to the next, I want it in my inbox in directly from the secretary.
Myla, are you agreeable to that?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Avelia gets the last word. Thank you, everybody. I apologize. I had wanted to end at noon. It's now almost 1. But
I know.
There you go. Avelia, go ahead, please.
Yes, please, everyone. I am a part of the theater community in Los Angeles. And what I wanted to offer to everyone, we've got so many brilliant people in this group that I want to say the turning of the fourth. I'm so confused by the meeting. Here it goes. Heroes of the Fourth Turning. That's the name of a play. It's by Will Arbery, if anyone knows that name, but it is on Melrose Avenue at the Matrix Theater. Now, yes, I think it's something that the Pacifica people, especially us, would really benefit from. It's about everything we deal with all the time. Full force. The New York Times says the most astonishing, the most stunning, the most riveting play they had seen in years. I agree. You may not care who I am theatrically, but that is my field. I want to tell everyone, please look into that play. Try to go. It's at the Matrix Theater on Melrose, presented by the Rogue Theater Company. Okay, it's confusing, but you want to go see Heroes of the Fourth Turning. Please go.
All right, everybody. And I assume if it's at the Matrix Theater, that Keanu Reeves will be there.
Don't assume that.
Okay. All right. All right, everybody.
I was late. I can barely walk after trying to walk up and down in the gay festival. Yesterday, I'm wore out. That's all.
How did you make it to the other meeting?
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Is anybody second?
I second that motion.
All right. Does anybody object? Well, this has been remarkably civilized. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
sorry
Harvey.
We're an hour over, but good luck, everybody. Avelia, you want a last word? No, your hand is up. All right, no nukes, everybody. Diablo Canyon Unit 1 is shut. If you want to keep it shut, write me, solartopia@gmail.com. Okay? No nukes. Okay. Thank you, Myla, for your job as secretary. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Myla.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
See you in November.
Buon noite.
Okay.
Adios.